Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Arizona Good Business Radio, connecting leaders together to have conversations about building strong local communities through doing good business. I'm your host, Thomas Barr, Executive Director of Local First Arizona, a statewide organization advocating for and celebrating locally owned businesses. We are the largest local business coalition in North America and raise awareness of the benefits of building strong local economies. Our hopes are to inspire more companies to do good business by highlighting local companies that are building a better Arizona. Today, I am joined by Joel Eberhardt, Vice President of Marketing and Community Development, and Matthew Clyde, President and Co-Founder from Ideas Collide, a strategic marketing firm based in Scottsdale, Arizona, that develops custom solutions to driving action and results. Welcome, guys.
Hey, welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks.
All right. So let's start with both of you. But Matt, if you want to go first, let's hear just your personal story. Talk a little bit about your journey from growing up and getting involved in, I know you've done a lot of different things, but it's led you on this journey to where you are now with your company. Let's hear a little bit about that.
Well, I guess my story goes back to being a very imaginative kid. I grew up in a family of construction and builders, so there's a lot of creative construction going on in my home. And I was a big fan of Legos. So I did a lot of Lego building and created roads and Lego cities. And as I got older, because I was building these things as a young kid and started to think about what I want to do with my life, I knew one day I wanted to build a business. I didn't know what that meant, as a young kid. Maybe as I got a little bit older, I started to understand that. And kind of grew it from there. Like that started to inspire me. I knew I wanted to have that kind of creative element and build something. And I did have a very diverse career, and it's spanned a lot of different channels in my life. You know, those days of building Legos led to me creating and building. At one point, I was going to be a screenwriter, and so I was going to write for the movies and submitted a screenplay to the Sundance Institute and got really fortunate to be part of their young writers lab at a really young age. And that led me to, make those connections, which, as we know in business, it's all about connection and who and how you get connected to things. And that led to new opportunities. I went to New York City for a while and worked in an ad agency. And the whole time in the back of my head was this little kid playing Legos, building these buildings, and knowing I wanted to build a business somewhere down the road. And so I just took over the years little pieces of what I wanted to do and how I wanted to maybe make it happen, constructed that into what is today Ideas Collide. There's not a linear path to that. It didn't really happen like step by step, but it's like many steps that came together that really then built that opportunity for launching the agency, which we did 15 years ago almost.
Right. And have you guys been in Scottsdale the whole time?
Yeah. So in the Phoenix Scottsdale area. So yeah, at the very beginning, we don't talk about this a lot, but
don't name the condo complex.
in Silicon Valley, they talk about, everybody operated out of their garage. It's too hot to do that here in Arizona. So we found a little condo on 48th Street in Phoenix, actually. Mm-hmm. And we moved into that condo and that we ran the business out of there for almost 6 years.
Wow.
Because we wanted to, a big goal of mine was to start the company and run the company without debt. And so it meant we had to be, again, creative in our approach. Yeah, we didn't operate out of a garage like you would in Silicon Valley. We did the Arizona way, which we operated out of a small condo. Our clients sometimes would come in and be like, they'd look around, they'd be giving us a few strange looks. But we made it feel very innovative and like a very boutique type feel to it when you walked in. And, that just, it was about the work really, not the office space. And so that's how we got started, was by squatting, if you will, in a little condo.
That's pretty cool. I think there's actually more businesses than we think that have that like incredibly unique starting point. Like even Local First Arizona, our founder started it in her living room and it was there for 7 years. It wasn't until she actually started hiring people that she realized, we should actually have an office space somewhere. Mm-hmm. So
Yeah, I'll tell you, when you hire people and they're coming to a condo for as a place of business, they give you some strange looks. Like, is this legit? So we would always do like, we'd always have to like multiple people in the office when we did interviews so people didn't freak out that it was like some, you know, like obscure thing they were getting into.
Right. Well, that's awesome. So we'll get to Joel now. But one question that I do want to ask, or actually not even a question, one comment. I've heard there's two types of people in the world, being that you mentioned Legos. Those that buy the kits and go by the instructions, and those that collect random Legos and then create their own worlds. So, Matt, you answer, and then Joel, as you start, you answer. What? Who are you?
I'm definitely the person that never looked at the instructions, wanted to build my own thing, create my own thing. Even I would try and maybe emulate maybe it was on the box, but then put my own spin on it.
Right, right. Cool. Joel.
Legos only served a purpose for me growing up, to build little forts for my G.I. Joes and my He-Man characters, and kind of go and have little houses and little forts for them. So yeah, definitely not one to follow the instructions.
Right. Tell us a little bit about your journey in getting involved in Ideas Collide, your career in marketing, and where you're at now. I know we're both native Arizona and West Valley boys. So
Yeah. So I'm a fourth generation Phoenician, so deep, deep family roots here. I grew up on the west side of town, Glendale, and went to NAU my freshman year, came down here and had some of my closest friends making money hand over fist doing mortgages, doing loans. And so, you know, maybe I'll try that for a summer and then I'm going to transfer to ASU. Funny thing is, the parking lot we're recording, or the building that we're recording this podcast in today, my first job was in the building just to the east of us. Wow. It was in the same complex. Wow. So I did that for a little bit. The recession hit, and then it was kind of like, okay, I'm going to go finish up at ASU and do something that I'm passionate about. I wasn't passionate about finance. Mm-hmm. It was always wanted to do something in the creative field. Kind of like Matt said, Matt was originally going to be a screenwriter. Originally, I wanted to go to film school. So definitely had a passion for all things creative. After college, I worked on the corporate marketing side of things. So, I've dealt with agencies and, you know, hired agencies and things like that, and decided to make the jump from corporate marketing to the advertising marketing agency side. Worked for a small agency, traditional agency, doing, you know, print, outdoor, public relations, stuff like that for about a year. And then wanted to shift to find an agency that was doing something that I knew was on the horizon. So like big in social media, big in digital, all that stuff. So found Ideas Collide. And long story short, I mean, here we are 8 years later. And I work really closely with Matt on all business development, being good stewards of our agency brand. And we've seen a lot of changes and a lot of growth.
Cool. Yeah. That's awesome. So when I think of Ideas Collide, and I've known you guys for several years now, even just walking into your office, there is, you feel the Ideas Collide brand. You feel the agency. It's different than any other marketing, I think, agency in any realm that I've ever come in contact with. It's almost like, so I remember years ago on the corner of McClintock and Broadway or Southern, was an ice cream shop that started years and years ago. And everybody knew them because when you'd walk in, all the employees would sing, like belt out singing when they made your ice cream. And if you're native to Arizona, you know what ice cream shop I'm talking about because they're across the world now. But in similar lights, like, you know, people think you can only get that unique experience when you walk into a retail shop or restaurant or something like that. But I feel the experience of Ideas Collide when I walk into your building, and I just feel the presence. So talk to me a little bit about the company in general and the vision for it and how you've built it to be this brand today that also reflects the brands that you guys represent.
Well, I think a lot of that, and you don't walk into our office and we sing, but I guess we could. But
on Fridays, there's music.
There is lots of music on Fridays. I think a lot of that comes from, and probably the reason you experience that when you walk in the door is really make every team member a part of the brand. So everybody has a voice in some aspects. It has their each individual we bring into the organization is the DNA of the brand. And we've tried to do that from the beginning. And I think we focused very early on on culture. So when I started the business, the advice I got from a lot of people was a lot of people around me trying to help me, you know, set this up for the most success. And one of the most important things I got from that experience of getting, you know, outside perspectives of building the brand and the company, someone pulled me aside and said, hey, here, if you can do anything, remember these three things: hire a great lawyer, hire a great accountant, and then lastly, focus on your culture. Let the lawyer and the accountant do their jobs. And if you can focus on this aspect, you can really build something really unique. And that was something I did. I didn't want to be bogged down into administrative pieces and still don't. I'd much rather be a part of the culture building. And so we've built that culture from day one, and trying to bring those different voices into the organization and making sure they feel a part of that culture. And I think a lot of that is letting people be who they are, bringing their own unique self, but also helping them be inspired to, you know, do what they're best at. We focus a lot on your strengths at our organization. So that brings that positive energy into the space and in everything that we do. And we try and make it an organization where the essence of the company when we started was to love the team first, take care of the team, and then they'll take care of everything else. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that was that culture advice from the very beginning, is tied to our values, our business values, which we have a value of love the team, show customer love, make an impact. And those really, that's the secret sauce, I think, of those three elements coming together really to drive maybe that essence of what you experience when you walk in.
And I think also when you talk about walking into our office, you get a sense of who we are as a business. I think the details really matter, and the details add up to a greater whole. That's something that Matt especially is, over the last 8 years I've been in the agency, pays attention to so much of the small details that matter and that go into our office. I mean, I'm talking down to, you know, the experience you're going to have when you go into our kitchen or, you know, go into one of our editing bays, video production, whatever. That's all been purposefully created to make sure that that experience is Ideas Collide unique.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think the overall feeling that you get is people are cared for here. Mm-hmm. You know, the people that work here are cared for by the
for
people
sure.
running the ship. And not only from, you know, a potential employee's perspective or your current employee's perspective, that feeling is good for them to produce good results, but also for people that you're working with in the community to know that you are those stewards of good isn't inauthentic, right? You're doing it naturally. I mean, to the detail point that you brought up, everything from the vinyl record player you guys have in your conference room.
And the art on the walls. Yeah, I mean, everything, you know? Yeah. It's a definite vibe for sure.
We talked about how Joel had the filmmaking background, Desire had the screenplay, and we bring those details like into our work as well, visually and then just in execution, bringing those elements and just to like our past or our ambitions now carry through into the culture and how, you know, we're running the company today.
Right. So I see a lot of businesses, not just in Arizona, but across the country, really struggle with that culture component. And I've seen you speak before, Matt, and one of the things that always sticks out when you speak is when you say culture is not just beer kegs and ping pong tables. And there's a lot of large companies, but also a lot of, you know, growing companies that I think could learn from starting from the person rather than starting from the product and what you put in front of them. How did you make sure that the person was first, the team was first? And what would you tell other businesses to consider in trying to build their own cultures?
Well, I think a lot of it came down to you have to invest the time, and it is a big time investment. It's not sometimes things that happen in the workday too. It's stuff that you have to put in the hours late or in the weekends to process or think through, or again, going back to details, little detail things that we do around the office happen. Sometimes we'll, you know, in the past, we've like made sure that everybody had some type of gift at their desk the next day, you know, so that meant going and setting that up the night before.
And let me say, it's a lot harder to maintain that culture at 80 people versus 10 people. Mm-hmm. I was hired number 10 at Ideas Collide. I remember when we had a small team. it's a lot easier to do that stuff. You know, it's a challenge to maintain the culture we've had over the years.
But it goes back to that time investment. So I think when we say, you know, we wanted to have an authentic culture, it also means that we aren't afraid when it's not working and to not allow people to speak about it and to give feedback and have that open dialogue. And that sometimes is hard, especially when you've been doing it for 15 years. You might, you know, as you get different voices now or different points of view, you might be like, oh no, like we've already been through that. But you know, you have to take that minute or that time to listen and to get that feedback. So there's a lot of feedback channels coming at us that make sure that we're being inclusive of not just, you know, the younger generation, but multiple generations. We have all type of generations working for us and trying to make it thrive for them. And so I put myself in the shoes of who I was. Like when I went to New York and I worked in this big agency, I don't think anybody probably even knew who I was there. Mm-hmm. And the leaders and the managers and the people along my career that have made the most impact on me were the ones that took that personal time and care and attention. So we wanted to bring that into our agency and into our culture. So we spent a lot of time training for that. We really wear and put our values front and center on an ongoing basis. They're not passive. They're very active in the agency. We then, you know, we try and do unique things that make us stand out. So it doesn't feel like, well, it's just another keg and ping pong table. Mm-hmm. Because I think what people are really attracted to and what makes people want to be part of a great culture is that it's tied to being high performance, impactful results, a part of a winning team. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, people want to be part of that. And so we build a lot around that in our environment so that people feel that element and they feel that excitement too about, hey, I'm excited to be part of this. This is really unique. Because it is high expectation. We expect a lot of our team members. When it, you know, they're not meeting those expectations, we're also very clear about it too. Mm-hmm. So people know where they stand. And that's been a big part, I think, of what we've done from day one. And we learn, as Joel was saying, you know, now we went from 10 to like almost 70 people now, it does take a lot more time and effort. And that means it's you know, different things that we have to scale to and but it still comes back to those core elements of, you know, giving people a voice, listening to that, not being afraid to respond to that, and then investing the time and energy to put it out there.
What helps too is we've got, you know, people at the company who are advocates for the culture and who take ownership of things and bring ideas to the table and implement some of that ideas collide culture on their own. And you see that grow organically and you're like, oh, cool. Wow. Right. You know, it's kind of settling in and
right.
So we've got a lot of that. We've got a whole recognition system that we use where people give each other recognized badges, we call them, and they can be counted towards points that can be redeemed for all types of things. Mm. I mean, we're talking, you know, airline tickets to, you know, money towards a vacation or whatever. So lots of cool stuff. And people have really gravitated towards that, towards the recognition piece.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think when you go back to the idea too that, you know, you hear the adage that it starts at the top. And that's true. That I think at the top, you know, the leadership has to set the tone and the expectation. But then the leadership has to be very, very open to allow anybody in any role or position to contribute or to fill that opportunity to, as Joel said, to be part of it. So the culture can come from all aspects. And that's we paint that expectation from the very beginning that they can, you know, if they have an idea, bring it forward, make it part of the team. If you can find a way to be a top performer in your efforts and make everybody feel that high level of impact, bring that to work. So we're always seeking, you know, opportunities to make the culture stronger.
Right. So I loved one thing that you both touched on, which is being able to have the conversation or keeping the door open for your team when the culture isn't working. Because I think that's, we are surrounded by this myth that, you know, we have to build the perfect company or the perfect organization or everybody has to be happy all the time. And that's what a great culture is. But I think what we lose is really having the conversation behind, you know what, sometimes people are having a bad day or, mm-hmm. You know, and not only do you, you know, have your family who's going to be there for you, but you want your company to be there for you too. And we've grown into, I think, a society where we have a lot of businesses that treat you more as a number, or whether you're employed by them or you're a customer to them, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that more and more often than not, we need more businesses that are relationship-based, focused, and caring at our best and worst times. So I love that you guys bring that to the Arizona community.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, it's really an open forum ideas collide when it comes to everybody on our team. I mean, everyone has a voice and an opportunity to provide feedback. So yeah, cool. I agree.
So let's talk about, if you guys could share about some of your really cool projects that you do. I know you have not only have you guys built a really awesome culture that and built a company that's risen from 10 to 80, but you also consider the community as a stakeholder in what you do, from my perspective. And I know that you guys have an incubator project that you work on and different things that you do in the community. Could you share a few of those things?
Yeah, so we work on, so there's multiple things that we do. We do believe that the community is a stakeholder in what we do, and that if we want to really thrive as a business, we have to be invested in the community around us. And that if we want to see opportunity and growth and diversity, all of that has to come from our own time and investment in the community. And we have another value in the agency is give back. And we always wanted it to be meaningful give back, not just let's cut a check and walk mm-hmm. away, but let's ask, how could we, you know, put time, resource, how can we roll up our sleeves? You know, since opening the agency from day one, we've been part of that. We were two people, and we helped with the Children's Museum downtown. You know, we did some fundraisers for them and brought in funds and contribute our own funds. That was like within the first maybe year of our business being there. And that has always set our standard ever since. And we have what's called the IC Gives, which is our community giving aspect. And that's from everything from doing, you know, volunteer hours. Everybody in our agency gets to donate an hour of their time every week to an organization or cause that they care about. And it's also once a quarter, we take the entire team offline or we have a special day set aside where we go and we've done like cleanup efforts for Keep Nature Wild here locally, cool. Great organization. And we're going to be doing lunch pack kits for Healthy Packs, which is a Scottsdale organization, which is a really great organization as well. So we get very involved both in time, labor, and in giving, you know, monetarily as well. So that's our IC Gives program. And the incubator initiatives that you mentioned too are efforts that we take where we work with small businesses or startups. And we were refining as they would meet with Joel and I or other people in our agency and, you know, this great startup company. And they would be like, hey, you know, we want to work with you guys. But then we would present our you know, services and the cost of like, oh, we're a startup. We don't have that money, or we're a nonprofit. There's no way we could do that. And we kept on realizing we were walking away from like really cool concepts. So in 2000,
you had people on our team too who wanted to work on this. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. You'd see, oh, wow, that's a really cool startup. It's really neat what they're doing. Right. I would love to work on that. And to Matt's point, I mean, you're startups. You don't have a ton of marketing dollars. Right. So
yeah, in 2014, we created a formal program called the IC Incubator. And once a quarter, we pick a cause or a startup or nonprofit that we contribute something back from a marketing standpoint. So we've created videos. We've done videos for Local First Arizona. We've done branding efforts. We've done email efforts. It just really talked to the need of the startup and how we can help give back in that aspect. And Joel oversees both of these programs. So they're, again, it's something that we had as a leadership we set up, but then we then really let the team run with it. So like, you know, we work a lot with Playworks. We have a whole team that goes out and does Playworks, go out and work at the recess circuit of Playworks, which is really cool. So they'll wear their Playworks shirts to, you know, the office that day. And, you know, they're going to go out during lunch and work with kids on the recess and the playground.
Arizona Humane Society, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We've done a lot of things with as well. the reason why this is this awesome part of my job is, like I said, you know, I'm a fourth generation Phoenician, so I feel like Phoenix and Arizona is in my blood. Yep. And what a great way to give back to our community than to be able to donate these services and also have a team of 70 to 80 people behind us that can go out and do these volunteer works. Uh-huh. And then these, you know, great marketers, great designers, digital strategists that can help them as well, where normally they wouldn't be able to afford this type of stuff. So it's been really cool to be a part of that.
Right. And it's called Gives Back. I See Gives. Right?
I See Gives, yeah.
So I think the unique thing that you guys bring to the table in giving back is, and I felt this personally, is you're not thinking of giving back as a charity that you're going to have on your drop-down on your website that just says, these are the organizations we give to monetarily each year. I've seen you and I've felt this when an organization is asking you for help, you literally bring them in. And it's almost like you're bringing them a part of your family and a part of your brand.
For sure.
And a part of the community that you serve. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and you talked about the office space. We wanted to build the office space so it could feel part of the community. So we have several large conference rooms that are and I don't know what you call them, workshop rooms and event space that we give out to nonprofits frequently that are – you know, can use it for board meetings. They can use it for fundraisers. We've done speaking engagements.
Well, we have a community partner doing an evening happy hour at our office this week. So, I mean, you know, we've got a big auditorium space. We've got a few large conference rooms. And yeah, I mean, we've had we tell all our community partners and you know, those we work with on the IC Give side and incubator side, hey, if you want to come in here and have a happy hour, have a board meeting, do a presentation, please. That's why we built this space. Mm-hmm. We had that in mind when we were designing and building it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And it makes it just more real for the team members because they can interact with, you know, the organization. They can learn about what they're trying to champion. Sometimes they'll bring in people that they're working with or advocate for. So it just makes it a little bit more real and personal.
Yeah, cool. So Jill, you made a comment about how, you know, you even have staff on your team that we'll want to help those businesses that might necessarily not necessarily be there yet to be able to, you know, spend a lot of money on marketing or anything like that. A testament to that recently, we were working with a small business together that was going through construction. Mm-hmm. And we had worked with Ideas Collide to provide just some small consulting to that. I mean, this was a business that didn't have flyers to let people know that they had a lunch special, like they needed some just very basic help. But somebody from your team afterwards was like, oh my God, Cafe Boa, my family's been going there for 30 years. I'll donate my time. Like afterwards, you know, it was just like, I want to help you so much, you know? Yeah. And so, and that continues to happen is that effect of, I'm not even talking to either of you through this process to help this business, but somebody else from your team is reaching out saying, you know what, I want to help too.
And that's what's really cool. Yeah. So you can work within our incubator program or IC Gives program with some of these smaller brands. Mm-hmm. But hey, just because it's a small brand doesn't mean it hasn't been around forever or that people have that, you know, emotional connection to it. And so, yeah, I mean, that's where the passion comes from. People know these brands. Our team knows these brands and they're like, yeah, I mean, I would love to. Mm-hmm. And so they jump at the chance.
Yeah.
So the organic aspect to it all.
So I want to hear a little bit about, because I know we've been talking a lot about culture and what you guys do. That's really good. But I also want to hear your perspective from a marketing side, being that I feel like you guys are really in tune with the development of where we are today in digital marketing, general marketing. What's your perspective today on what companies are doing that are really working? And where might we be going in the next few years with the effective ways for businesses to market themselves?
I think what we try and do is be that what we'll often talk about is we're the future of marketing today. So we build future marketing solutions, custom marketing solutions for businesses in today's marketplace. I mean, we're seeing that. I mean, I think about companies that are doing that really well, brands that are doing that really well, are brands that have really strategic, great content. And so it's taking great content and it's content that's desirable or it's anticipated or it's relevant and you want to keep consuming it. So you keep engaging with that brand. And it can be visual content, it can be video content, it can be written out. Those are exciting brands that either we get to work on or brands that we're observing that are really taking that and providing value through content to tell more about their product or service. And those brands are doing, I think, really well because they've really figured that out. And then when you think about where marketing is going and how it's changing, I mean, there's so many diverse channels now that we all, when you think about how many things hit you in a day that are marketing related or marketing messages, and it's almost overwhelming to think about how all of that influences. And what we really do well is kind of give that structure to the, try and form a structure around that so that it's a little bit more, instead of random acts of marketing, mm-hmm. it's more sustained, you know, like there's a system behind it, there's a process behind it, strategic and targeted, define where in the, all the different points of contact where you may want to interact with your customers, where it's going to have the most meaning mm-hmm. and have the most impact.
What's really exciting to me in the industry right now is where voice is going and where podcasts are going and audio and all of that. It's funny, you know, you hear about brands wanting to create almost like an audio logo. So you know how Intel has the dun 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 at the end of their commercials? More and more brands are wanting to do that because you know, the rise of audio, the rise of voice. So I'm watching that pretty closely and I'm interested to see what happens. I mean, I can't believe the amount of podcast content that I consume and everyone else. And you know, how far podcasts have come. So I'm really excited. I'm watching that closely. I'm watching platforms and channels like Luminosity, a podcast platform that just launched last week that has, you know, like Trevor Noah podcasts and a bunch of different things, and seeing how they're kind of folding in the whole advertising side of stuff. So it'll be interesting.
Sure. And so back to a couple of your points you made, Matt. I one of the most successful, I think – probably actually the most successful on-brand thing that Local First Arizona ever did was, and it was so authentic and we moved very quickly on it, was, this was maybe 3 years ago, it was right around Christmas, and next to our office there's a small billboard and we can actually pay to have artists paint on the wall underneath the billboard. So it's kind of a weird setup, but on the billboard, a massive company came out and made a billboard that said, "You deserve a better cup of coffee." And there was a number next to it that just said $1, like your $1 coffee, you deserve a better cup of coffee. And we were so upset about it because, you know, big national company, like really bad coffee, by the way. And so we went to the drawing board and we created this piece of art that said, "You deserve a better community. For every $100 you spend at a local business, 45 stays in your community.
Smart.
Every 100 at a national chain, $13 stays here." And that thing just exploded online. People were just like, yeah, like literally screenshotting it and sharing it on their own pages. Like, check this out, you know? And I think it's just that being so authentic, but like, taking a little jab sometimes at the other guys really works.
And also putting those type of messages in unexpected places, right below that billboard. So when it was election season, I remember seeing the Homie for Senate or Homie for Congress, which was this whole campaign by Homie.
And they're a digital real estate
company. Exactly, yeah. And, you know, just started putting those campaign signs up, which led to, you know, all this PR for them, all of these news hits that they didn't have to pay for. They just because they had a unique campaign that was clever, out of the box, not what you expected to see, where it was
not breaking any laws, putting up advertising in an interesting space. Yeah, for sure. From the perspective of building what I view as a company that is very unique in the things that you guys are doing, I often think, you know, if only it weren't so unique and we had more businesses like yours around, I really feel like like ideas collide, the type of business that I want to work with, that I want to know, that I wish there were more of in the community. How would you both define what being a good business is, or representative of a good business? What does that mean to you?
I mean, for me, it's all about giving back to the community. And when I say give back, I don't just mean volunteer time. I mean what you were alluding to before, where we provide services in some cases that are very reduced rate or pro bono to actually help them build something that's going to help more in the long run versus just doing, you know, a day or a weekend of volunteer time. We do that too. But in some cases, it's kind of like, okay, we're going to set something up that's going to keep generating, you know, returns and other things for you down the road. So I just think it's being involved in the community and really caring equates to being a good business. And also, I think you'll find, I don't care what the industry is, I think you'll find that your team and your employees are going to get passionate about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen it, that ideas collide in other clients that we've worked with, who we've actually partnered with to, you know, on some of our give back initiatives. And people really rally behind that stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's also, I think that's a huge aspect of it. And then I think the other part is how you operate internally too, like the opportunities you give your team. We talk a lot about having a culture formula. And part of that culture formula is that we sometimes have had to put people before profit. And that's been hard at times to do. But that means, to me, that's like being a good business. Mm-hmm. That, you know, let's take care of our people right now. Let's do what's right for our team, because they're going to come through in the end. That goes back to loving the team. So we sometimes have that mindset. Community giving is a big part of that formula. Another part of our culture, or having a good business formula, is that we set high expectations of both us as leaders and owners of the business, but of our team as well. And so that means there has to be a lot of openness and reciprocating of opportunities, and bring in diversity as well, and allowing diversity across, again, you know, I mentioned multi-generation. We're led, I think about 85% of our team or senior leadership are female. And so that's really important in our organization, is to give everybody that voice and allow them to be there, you know, be themselves at work. And another aspect of that being a good business is we talk about this idea of betterment, that goes back to what we were saying earlier, is that, hey, it doesn't always work. It's not always going to be perfect. And what's I think healthy is everybody knowing that and talking about going like, hey, why isn't this working right now? And okay, let's figure that out. Let's get a pulse of why it's not working. Mm-hmm. And that's another part of that culture formula, is to allow people to always get better. What we do, that means the business does as well. So, you know, the way we're structured today is actually very different sometimes in a lot of ways than it was like even 2 years ago, because we're growing a lot. We're having to scale. We're having to take on new things. And so it allows everybody to understand that, hey, we're constantly working towards betterment and getting better at what we do day to day. And it doesn't have to be like this set, you know, okay, this is, we hit it, we're there. Mm-hmm. It's always constantly growing in that aspect. And that's the same thing we expect of our team. What we expect of our business in terms of our process and our performance and results is how we should also treat our team members as well, with that respect, that humanity, letting people feel they have autonomy and a sense of purpose in their work. That's all part, I think, of being a good business.
Yeah, there's definitely a heavy investment in people as it pertains to training and just, you know, knowledge growth, knowledge share. I mean, that's a weekly thing in Ideas Collide, is investing in people. Like Matt's talking about betterment. That's something that happens all the time. And it's paid huge dividends for us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think everyone should be able to resonate with the people over profit mentality. It's, I think, for a long time over the years, a lot of businesses operated the other way. I mean, there's still a lot of businesses not operating that way. And, you know, I know you have to do well to do good, right? But I think it's so important. It goes back to that. I think there's that phrase that says, You learn a lot about a person when times are difficult, not when times are easy, right? Mm-hmm. And sure. And knowing you can trust your employer to treat you well when those times might not be easy. I read about a company that went through hard times, like a lot of companies did over the Great Recession, and they made a company-wide decision that they weren't going to lay anybody off. And so they had to make the difficult decision to have cuts in hours and pay.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a team-wide, like collective decision. We're going to take care of everyone. It's going to hurt for everyone, but we're going to make sure that everyone is at least taken care of and not doesn't have a job right now.
That's a cool story. I've been on the other side of that.
Yeah.
during the recession, okay. Being brought into, a big conference room, being a part of a big corporation, mm-hmm. and just mass layoff.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's depressing. I never want to go through or work with somebody that has to go through that again. It's right. it's the worst.
Right.
And so that's really cool that, that the company was able to ride that storm. Yeah.
One of my most memorable, a story that's very memorable to me working at Ideas Collide is probably maybe 4 or 5 years in, and we had a client that didn't pay us and left us with a huge bill. This thing was like over $50,000. Wow. And for a small company, that was like, especially a company that was like trying to do good and do the right things, to have that, that's a life lesson that we learned, and it was painful. And what I remember about that moment, we ended up, parting ways, obviously, and what I remember about that moment is a lot of people in our organization thought that somebody's going to lose their job or multiple people would lose their jobs. And what we did instead is we took the whole agency to lunch.
Hmm.
We just went to lunch and we said, hey, that was painful. What did we learn from it?
Hmm.
Okay, let's make sure that never happens again.
Wow.
And most of those people are still with us today. And it that created a moment. It also showed that true, like instead of everybody like, panicking and getting worried, we, put it on like, let's learn and grow from it. And that's, we even do that today. Sometimes when we don't like hit a goal or, it's a volatile business. It can change very
right.
quickly. We often say, put your energy towards the right things, put the energy towards the positive and the opportunity. Don't put that energy into the negative and the what ifs. And that's always been an operational mindset for us. And it's really made a difference in our performance and how we've gotten through hard times, difficult challenges.
Right, right. There's also a lot of research done on proximity communities, which I think is a challenge sometimes for Phoenix, which in historical context, we're very spread out compared to a lot of other cities, right? And there's research done on when natural disasters happen in different communities. Cities that are built more tight-knit and closer together actually rebound faster because the businesses and the neighborhoods and the people know each other. I've also read a lot about how the number one deterrent of crime in a neighborhood is not more cops, it's knowing your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's ultimately for some small businesses a challenge sometimes from the perspective of seeing all these other things that businesses can do for their employees, whether it's the kegs and the ping pong tables or sometimes it's being able to provide healthcare benefits or, things like that if you're starting out, right? So would you give any advice to a small business what advice would you give to a small business that may be, feeling like they're operating in Arizona, might be on that island by themselves? What can they do to, treat their employees well, build a culture that's good?
I think a lot of it's mindset. So you may feel like you're an island and isolated, but how are you trying to reach out? How are you trying to build opportunity? And, I was definitely there. I was, like I said, started out in the condo. It was me at the very beginning, just one person. And I knew culture was important. I knew community giving was important. So I didn't have money. I was trying to operate without debt too. So we just did a lot of creative things. We did small, simple things that, made us feel connected and made us. And so I think you have to go out and seek those things. They're not always maybe obvious, but what's something simple you can do? What's a simple thing you can be part of? And it doesn't have to be expensive too,
What about keg and shuffleboard? Not ping pong, but shuffleboard. Is that? That's, yeah.
Do you want to put one of those in the office?
Yeah. It's not as noisy as ping pong. I'm just saying.
We have room.
I know.
You can always build, yeah, you can build keggers. Yeah. And you can do a kegger with shuffleboard. That's okay. Not going to cost a lot of money.
And dog-friendly offices help, too.
Yeah, we do have the dog-friendly. That's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you got to find those simple things that you can do that make that connection and make it feel like you care more than, you know. And you know, we've done really unique things, too. We once, you know, we've given away unique gifts. We've done, you know, we do like a rock star of the year, and we frame an album cover for them. But that doesn't cost a lot of money to go and frame, you know, something like that.
We've got a toy shelf in our big auditorium, which is filled with every member of our team. When you get hired at Ideas Collide, we want to know, what's your favorite childhood toy? We get that childhood toy and it goes on the toy shelf. That's another thing that's just kind of, it's a cool conversation piece, but it also, you know, it's just a nice thing to do for a new team member. And
it's all connection too. Yeah, it allows them to feel connected, like, you know, a little bit more stake in the organization. Mm-hmm. We've been, that's just really easy.
Yeah. You can also gauge how old someone is by the toy. I've got a He-Man up there, just full disclosure.
One fun thing we do at Local First is maybe twice a year, we'll pull the group together and for like a team lunch or something like that. And we'll have everybody submit their like number one song, like during that time, like what's the song you wake up to that gets you going? And then we'll put it on a CD and we'll eat lunch and we'll have everybody guess like whose song it was. And I'm always the one that, I don't know why, like, the minute it starts playing, everyone's like, Tommy.
Like, we did something similar to that.
What happened?
Yeah, yeah. How funny.
Yeah, we've done playlists.
Yeah. What was your song?
The last one was a song by a band called The Bouncing Souls. It was off their Hopeless Romantic record. I forget which one I picked, but mine's always this like fast punk rock song, and nobody else picks that. And so it's just like, they don't even know who it is, but automatically point at me.
Well, you grew up on the West Side too, right?
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. We were raised in punk and ska punk. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So one last question, and this is a fun one for you guys before we hear all about where we can find you guys online and that kind of stuff. And this is actually a question that's incredibly difficult for me, but in theory it shouldn't be. But I'm going to put you on the spot. Favorite local business in Arizona?
Wow, that's a great question. You know what's hard about that is I'm thinking like, okay, I love all these great restaurants. Am I thinking more towards like a restaurant group or a specific restaurant, number one? And then I don't know. I'm also thinking, you know, on the retail side of things. I mean, I love Changing Hands bookstore. I've been going there forever. I don't know, Matt. What do you?
Oh, throw it at me.
Yeah.
You didn't really answer.
I like the log lead. Yeah, keep going. Keep dialoguing there.
Gosh.
We have to pick one. Can we do a series?
Do a series. Let's just shout them out.
So here's what I'm thinking. I'm like going through my head of all the different rushes. So my wife and I, we live near 7th Street, where all those great restaurants are, right? So many great restaurants, local restaurants up there. A little bit more towards central. You familiar with Windsor?
Yeah.
Windsor's a spot where we go all the time. I don't know if that's I think it's a restaurant group.
That's Upward Projects.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I love a lot of there. Because they got Joyride Tacos too, right?
Joyride. Yeah. Pizza, yeah.
Yeah, I like Joyride too.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got the institutional classic, like when you talk restaurant, like Durant's, which is great for, a business lunch.
Phoenix Staple.
We've taken clients there.
I changed my answer. It's Durant.
I don't think so I still don't know if you have an answer, Joel.
We could do a series. So there's like a place like Durant's.
Yeah.
There's, you know, Changing Hands, I think, is awesome, especially they're in the new location.
The Phoenix one,
The Newton setup is just brilliant. I love that place. It's a great hangout. I think it's great for Phoenix overall. I love what's happening over at the Churchill. I think it's really cool. We're big fans of State 48 and have worked with them on some projects. Also a big fan of Gadzooks. Those are probably some of our...
Dan's Eyes and Dairy.
Love
that milk.
We
love that milk.
We can't leave here by not mentioning our friends and family over at Dan's Eyes and Dairy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably the fact that I have probably like 60 glass bottles in my garage right now that I need to either go.
We've gotten pretty creative with them in our house. Mm-hmm. We've
They do that too.
We've got some that are flower holders. I've brewed cold brew coffee in them before.
Really?
Yeah,
I know.
We had to get rid of all the plastic straws in our house. So my daughter now uses them for the metal straws that we have.
Okay, yeah.
So they like hold up.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. Or get $2 back when you take it back to the store.
Yeah. There you go.
The funny thing is my wife and I have gotten into antiquing mm-hmm. lately, where we'll go to a different town or a different city and we'll just hit up all the different antique shops. I'm definitely in my 30s now that I'm doing that, but it's like actually really cool. Like,
so have you found, what's your greatest find?
I don't know that I have a specific greatest find. I love looking at all the vinyl records and I've found like a couple really cool ones, like original James Taylor and mm-hmm. live Neil Young records and stuff like just nice. Random, like really cool stuff. But we were in Glendale, you know, they're trying to revive their antique culture and we were looking in this area and it was one of those kind of like this definitely wasn't antique area. It was just mm-hmm. like kind of cool stuff. And we saw this like little jar. And my wife is like, oh, that's really cool. There's like a sunflower like painted on it or whatever. And we walk up and I hold it and I was like, this is a Dan Sisson dairy bottle.
You could tell right away.
This is not an antique. Yeah. I'm sorry, but
yeah.
Yeah.
The idea of glass bottled right. milk is, right. you know, from the past for sure. But yes, there's a lot of those bottles going around now.
Yeah.
I think the one, just to close out that whole thing, is that there's so many amazing local businesses here
right.
and so many amazing things happening in retail, in the culinary scene, in the arts, that we have a lot to be proud of and go support it.
Right. Right. So I'll plug my favorite right now. Renhouse Brewing, 24th Street and Oak. Three or four years ago, nobody knew about it. And now you go in there and you just like shoulder on shoulder, which is awesome. But if you didn't know it was there, you'd be flying past it. I found out recently. So they opened up and were able to get their license to build a brewery out of there. Because when the building was actually made, it was – and you guys,
we were with them. We did an incubator with them.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We toured when they were building the facility.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was not doing a plug right now.
I'm a fan too.
Matt's smirking over here and I'm just like, what is the connection?
Yeah.
No, but they – when the building was originated, it was zoned to be a bakery or a brewery.
Yep.
And it wasn't a brewery until Renhouse Brewing like moved in like 100 years later. That's like some good insane.
Super cool. So I went to a wedding on Saturday at the Secret Garden, which is at 24th Street, you know, near South Mountain, and drove by Ren House on Saturday afternoon. And you're right. It is packed.
Yeah.
Always packed.
Yep.
You know, there's parking lot, good luck. You know, I mean, everyone's in there and it's a great success story. They have a wonderful brand.
I love it. This is Phoenix now, right? We've arrived.
Yep.
Okay. So tell us how we can find you guys. How can we find Ideas Collide online? Where are you guys at?
You can go to ideascollide.com. There you'll find all of our contact information, links to our various social channels, at Ideas Collide. But, you know, Google us. You'll find us.
Yeah.
Right. Go to the website.
Awesome.
We have a great blog there too.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Well, Matt, Joel, thank you so much for you listening. We hope you were inspired today by these local leaders that are redefining what it means to do good business. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Conscious Capitalism Arizona, Max 6, and Phoenix Business Radio X. This is Thomas Barr from Local First AZ reminding you that if we want to build a better Arizona, we need to connect deeply with the local businesses that make us proud to call this place home.